May I speak, and may we all hear, in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What happens when we look but don't see? Sometimes it's the impatient looking for something that we've just put down, our keys or our glasses. We find them actually hiding in plain sight. Or we might peer into the sky looking for something someone else can see, a plane or a bird. It's just there. No, right a bit. No, it's just there. Can't you see it? Sometimes not seeing is a lack of empathy or intuition or compassion. When we look on circumstances of others and just don't see what's really going on under the surface. The human ability to look but not see is, of course, part of our self-preservation. Some things shouldn't be seen by children, for example. Some things shouldn't be seen by anyone. Some things shouldn't be seen because seeing them will serve no good purpose. And sometimes we think we know what we're looking at, and we can't see it because we're looking for the wrong thing. The Where's Wally books are popular because of this. You can't see Wally because you're looking for the wrong thing. What, I wonder, were Mary, Joseph, Simeon, and Anna looking for? Luke writes that Anna spoke to everyone who was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon was looking for salvation, prepared before all time for all people, Jews and Gentiles. Mary and Joseph were looking for Emmanuel, God with us, and Jesus, who would be called Son of God. They were all looking for something, but they were looking for different things. In the first lesson from the book of Ezekiel, who was a kind of performance prophet, a bit nuts really, we heard part of a vision within which he remembered that he was simply looking, with no idea of what he was looking for. And in that looking, he saw the glory of God, and it was overwhelming. And perhaps we know what that's like too. The first time I saw the Grand Tetons, which is a mountain range in northwest of the United States, I burst into tears. It was so beautiful. I looked at the mountains, but what I saw was the glory of creation. And perhaps you've experienced that too when looking at nature or human endeavor, some creativity, art or music or drama. What we see may not be that we were looking for. In the New Testament lesson, we heard a part of a long stream of consciousness, which from St. Paul, he wrote in answer to some questions the Christians in Corinth had asked him. They were concerned with how to live well, how to live righteously in this new thing, which was freedom in Christ, the embryonic church, a reshaped societal structure. And Paul had corrective words to say to them about how they conducted themselves. And then he continued with this excerpt, which actually begins with the last verse of chapter 12. I will show you a still more excellent way, that is, of how to live together. And the words which follow were familiar ones, often chosen for marriage services or for funerals, as the reminders of the central importance of love. And of course, love is central. God is love, other writers tell us. But the love of which St. Paul writes is not the love we might be looking for in this passage. He doesn't use the word for love between two lovers, or for that between siblings or within a community. The word he uses for love is that used for the love of God. Different, because it truly expects nothing in return, and the love which keeps on giving even when there is active hostility, the love which really, truly, never, ever gives up. And so St. Paul goes on to describe the pathway of a life lived in this kind of love. Love which prompts both looking at and then seeing others as God does. He writes, "For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known." For St. Paul, to be known fully by God was to be known with all his failings and past mistakes, things he would never forget, but which God forgave. When we only look and don't truly see, we may miss the signs of love, of blessing, or inadvertently miss seeing the glory of God in the ordinary. For Ezekiel, visions were ordinary. For the Corinthian Christians, Paul was dealing with ordinary things. For Mary and Joseph, taking Jesus to the temple when he was 40 days old was ordinary. And it was in that ordinary that they looked and saw far more than they looked for. In the liturgy last night, on the feast of the presentation of Christ in the temple, the closing call and responses included the declaration that we, the church, have turned from looking at the crib and Jesus' birth, and we now turn towards the cross and the passion, the suffering of the man that baby would become. When we do that, what are we looking for? And what do we see? In order to sharpen our seeing as we look forward, it might help us to consider first our look back. What were we looking for at Christmas? That is, what did we expect to see? A baby? Gentle Jesus, meek and mild? A cozy picture of bucolic serenity as a young couple have their first baby? But looking back now, what did we really see? We saw a frightened Mary and Joseph, both told by an angel not to be frightened, that their child would be the one to save the people from their sins. We saw angels who were frightened. We saw the family with their newborn flee from their own country and become refugees. We saw the long 2-year journey of the Magi and their encounter with Herod, which led to the death of all Jewish boy toddlers of Jesus' age. Mary and Joseph saw those things as they were just looking for the redemption of Israel. Simeon and Anna were looking for the same things as Mary and Joseph, but what they saw was a sort of sorrow that would pierce Mary's heart. They saw the divisions that Jesus would bring, the rising and falling of many nations. And Simeon also saw, like Ezekiel, the glory of God. Simeon saw the light of the world, the light of everyone, Jew and Gentile. He would not have been looking for that, but that's what he saw. Disappointment and bewilderment are common human experiences when we look for something and don't find it, whether it's a lost pair of socks, a relationship, academic or business success. If, when we look back towards Christmas, we find we were looking for a miracle worker, someone to make everything right, someone predictable and understandable who'd sort things out, we'll be disappointed. If, though, when we look back, we're open to seeing, we may well glimpse the glory of God which the angels saw, what Mary and Joseph came to see, and 2 years later the Magi saw. And like my first sightings of the Grand Tetons, it is nothing like we anticipated. The baby grew to be a man, a demanding man, who sought to show people how to live, that they would not only see God's glory, but be bringers of that to the world. And the path was one of service and sacrifice. And it's a high calling. And the demand and the brightness may be difficult to look at, but if we continue to look and seek to truly see, our inner eyes and our spirits adjust. So then, as we look towards the cross, what are we looking for? It's a question for all of us in the weeks to come. The question, of course, becomes sharpened in Lent, and we'll be thinking more about our discipleship in focused ways. But as we anticipate Lent, what are we looking for? The cross is many months away, barely visible even if we strain our sight on a clear day. It's far in the distance. But it's worth a ponder, because if we can challenge ourselves about what we're looking for, we may be more prepared to see whatever it is that's waiting for us. We may prepare ourselves to be open in new ways to the call of the risen Christ on our lives. We might become aware of how the glory of God is made manifest through ourselves, or in fact through others, whom when we look at, we just can't see it. What we see is not always what we've been looking for. In order to gain the most from what we see as we turn towards the cross, we need to identify and maybe even let go of what we're looking for, what we've always looked for. God may well surprise us, as he surprised Ezekiel, St. Paul, Mary, Joseph. God surprise him with glory in places unthought of. God may surprise us with glory in places we haven't thought of, even through ourselves and our service of others. May we look back and forward in order that we might see. And may we see with the eyes of both heart and mind that when we see, we may act, and act to bring the light of God into the lives of all with whom we have to do, and be open to them bringing the light of God to us. Amen.
I believe in one God.